Welcome to the Last Christian Radio Show with your hosts, Brother J.D. Williams and Brother T.L. Farley. It's now time to grab your Bible as prophecy brings into focus the events playing out on the world stage at incredible speed, right before our very eyes, and exactly as was foretold.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Last Christian Radio Show. We certainly appreciate you guys taking the time to be with us tonight. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, I'm joined tonight by my good friend and co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How are you doing tonight, Terry?
Doing good there, Joel. Just enjoying this Texas winter.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I have endured some other state winters, and the only thing that is bad about the fact that we have such a light winter right now is I know that means that it's going to translate into a really super special hot summer, and that, yeah, those are punishing, as you well know. Now, Terry, I want to point out the title slide tonight that, you know, if you subscribe to YouTube, you see it. And if you don't, we hope that you will take a look at YouTube and subscribe. We got close to 4,000 subscribers right now, which is, you know, still one of our smaller outlets, but we continue to hope it grows, and we're asking for your help in that. If you can hit the subscribe button, please do. It helps us get the word of Jesus Christ out, and that's what it's all about. It's a great evangelical way for you to actually spread God's word without fear. So just go ahead and share the videos, and make some comments, that type of thing. But if you'll notice on the title frame, what I've got here is I've got lines that are really unraveling between Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38 and 39, Revelation 1 through 3, and Matthew 24. All these things converging into one last thing, which of course is the rapture of the church, and that's the whole point of the Last Christian Radio Show, is to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. But, you know, Terry, there's a lot going on in the Middle East, and that's really what we're going to cover tonight, because that's what matters. You know, that's what God really looks at, and that's what the world should be focused on. But, of course, the world is not focused that much right now. The Middle East is. They are, you know, they are very focused on it, but not us.
Yes.
Instead, you know, we're focused on a bunch of January 6th and, you know, stuff that, you know, happened 2 years ago or something. I mean, all kinds of just utter junk that the media wants to portray. One thing, though, that the president did, I meant to put this in the last show, because to me, it's very important, and to me, it's very near and dear to my heart. And I'm just going to play this, and then I'm going to call them out for exactly what they are. So just listen to this.
President Joe Biden issued a new memorandum to protect a woman's access to reproductive health care on the 50th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on Roe versus Wade. The memorandum directs his administration to establish guidance for providers and patients who seek access to a medication used to terminate intrauterine pregnancy up to 10 weeks. Attorney General Antony Blinken and Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas are also directed to ensure patients are safe from violence when seeking reproductive care.
Okay, they're going to be safe from violence for going and killing someone. Let me tell you, Blinken, whatever your name is, Joe Biden and whatever that other person's name is, there is a place in hell waiting for you that is hotter than most. I'm just going to be real honest with you, okay? Because abortion's murder. And, you know, I'm not telling women that have an abortion that they can't be saved, because they can. I am not trying to step in between a woman and her decision, good, bad, or whatever, in having an abortion. But to promote it, to make it something that you are proud of and something that you really want to do, that goes so much against the Bible and goes so much against God that I'm sorry, you're going to burn in hell. And there is nothing, you cannot be saved from this, because if you were a Christian, if you were truly a Christian, you wouldn't be promoting abortion. You just wouldn't. You know, that's my personal opinion. That is my personal opinion. If you don't like it, take it up with me. Don't take it up with anybody else. Take it up with me, because that's my personal opinion. And as far as I know, in the United States of America, everybody is entitled to an opinion. Correct, Terry?
Yeah, they are. And I'd like to jump in on that. I understand completely your feelings on that, Joel. I'm not upset or surprised by it. But I do want to point out to people that are involved in that industry, in fact, in any industry of sin, whatever it might be, and I'll leave that up to the person for conviction from God.
Right.
But whatever you're involved in, Jesus, that's why he suffered on the cross.
Right.
And it's so horrible. You can be saved. Even out of that, the only thing that will keep you from getting saved, the only unforgivable sin, is the sin of not accepting Jesus as Savior.
Right.
When you deny blasphemy is what the sin is called technically, but when you fight against, you know, like Satan, and he does everything he can to tell people Jesus isn't God and Jesus, you know, etc. When you speak against, and that's when the Holy Spirit is working, and the Holy Spirit will convict people. And when they fight against that, there are people, I'm not going to name anybody, I don't want to put anybody in a situation, but there are people I have heard in public that have claimed things about God that are completely wrong. And if they don't repent, they will burn in hell forever. And once you go, you can't get out early out, or you can't, they said, give us early outs in the army. But you can't get, there's not, once you get inside, the only thing that'll keep you from the gates of hell is Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
He said the church is going to be able, the gates of hell cannot close on it, because he is going to work in us, in each one of us as Christians, to save the very last Christian, as an example, they'll be saved, and we'll be gone. We'll be out of here. Yeah. We'll be out of your hair.
Yeah.
We'll be gone.
Like you said, there's no escape. You know, there is no probation. Yeah. There is no parole. Once you have been sentenced, that's it. So, you know, that's the reason that we continually tell people to please take that step of accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, because then you don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, you just don't.
Right.
So anyway, I know that there have been, you know, there have been a lot of women that have been pushed into abortion. There have been a lot of women who have regretted an abortion later on.
Sure.
There are some that feel like they have no other choice. I understand all this stuff. I really do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go after a woman who makes that decision. She made that decision. That's between her and God at that point. I'm out. Okay? I'm out of it.
That's right.
So I'm not trying to prevent anybody from doing it or talk anybody out of it or any. I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
I am an adopted child. I could have been an abortion. That's the reason I am so, you know, that this issue is so near and dear to me. I got children and grandchildren that wouldn't be here if a woman had made the decision to have an abortion. So if you guys want to pick on me or, you know, have a fight with me because I am so adamant about it, you know why now. So if you're not adopted, shut up. Okay, if you're not, if, you know, you've got no say because you have no idea. You just don't. So just shut up. I had a problem at one time, Terry, and this is off subject completely. It's just a side story, real quick. I was in church, and there was a lady in church, and I heard her talking to somebody else. And she said, you know, with all this puppies and all that, is being adopted, does that kind of like an adoption? That was the most offensive thing that I have ever heard in my life. She just compared me to a dog or a cat, you know. And I went up to her and I told her I did not appreciate it. She said it loud enough for me to hear it. And if it was loud enough for me to hear it, then it was my responsibility or at least my right to talk about it. And the lady went nuts. Okay, well, guess what? Guess what? We, you know, we might have gone to the same church. Yeah, it was the church we went to, Terry. We might have gone to the same church, but we were on different sides of the church, trust me. She didn't want to have anything to do with me, and I didn't want to have anything to do with her. And, you know, okay, that story's done. I forgave her. I forgave her. I doubt she did me, but I forgave her, and I have moved on from that. Okay, before we get too sidetracked here, I do want to get into what's really going on and the reason for all those tie-ins from all the stuff I showed you with the title screen early on. And, the best way to do it is just start it out. I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. They know I play these clips, and the first one is by Amir Tesfarte. And I just want you guys to take a look at this one, and then we'll comment on it, Terry.
Over the last few days, the Russians have made a significant advance both on the eastern part near the city of Bakhmut and on the southern part near the city of Zaporizhia. And more and more villages are taken, key locations, key roads. And the West is extremely worried because of the Ukrainian losses are triple digit every day. We're talking about 100, 200, 300, sometimes 400 soldiers a day that they're losing in the war right now, both on the Eastern Front in the Donbas area and on the Southern Front down closer to Crimea. And these are major, major reasons for the Ukraine to worry. Over the last 24 hours, key people in the Ukrainian government and in the regional government, some governors of several key locations resigned. Something is going on. The Ukrainians understand that Zelensky just forbid any private traveling of anyone from the government during this time. And again, one after the other, they're resigning right now. It looks very bad to the Ukrainians right now. And the West understands it. And this is why there is heavy, heavy pressure to supply the Ukrainians with tanks and armored vehicles and aircrafts. And right now, the pressure is mounting.
Yeah, the pressure is mounting. And Terry, you're not hearing any of this in the mainstream media. You're hearing about Russia defeat. You're hearing about how much, what we can do to help Ukraine and why we need to spend a whole lot of money over there. And you just heard Amir talking about the significant losses that they're taking. All of the governors of the different provinces and areas there inside that country that are resigning because they see the writing on the wall. Things are intensifying. It's not getting easier. It's getting tougher. And, you know, I'd love to sit here and tell you that it's going to get better, but it's going to get worse. And I know it's going to get worse because the Bible tells me it's going to get worse. What's your impression of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Joel, this was the video that I was trying to get through to you today. So I'm glad to see we're on the same point there. It's terrible. And you know, people, and you know, all of the countries in Europe that are trying to support Ukraine are all waiting for the United States to make the big move.
Right.
And they talk about things they'll do and how they'll send tanks, but nobody's going to do anything unless America does. So they're putting it on America, and you know, but it's like you say, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. You know, I wish we could stop it, but...
Well, I got some updates for you on that too. Okay. Because things are happening, and we're marching toward that moment. Okay. I mean, you know, we keep talking about the wars and the rumors of wars, the pestilences, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, the you know, nation rising against nation, country against country, and as I mentioned in the last show, it's now race against race. It's you know, a sect against sect. It's gotten completely out of hand, and nobody wants to look at the root cause of it. And of course, we both know that the root cause of it is a lack of faith in Jesus Christ, and a lack of trying to follow the only person that can do anything about it. Instead, you got a bunch of people that are taking a political stance, one side against the other. And, you know, for the most part, and I think you'll agree with me on this, but for the most part, if one party is for something, the other one is going to be automatically against it, whether they like it or not.
That's right.
And it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, there used to be a time when you could have some agreement on things, where you could have some common sense, maybe. But I mean, all that's out the window now. You know, if you're for it, I'm against it. That's all, you know, and neither side's going to budge no matter what, unless, of course, it becomes such an issue that it really starts to cost them votes. And right now, this country in the United States of America is broken down 45% Democrat, 45% Republican. You're dealing with 10% there. In the middle, and you know, usually they swing about four and a half or something. I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy, you know. And so nobody makes any progress that way. But anyway, you can see here what I was trying to get to by playing the thing about the Ukraine. What's going on in Ukraine right now is they're getting desperate. Their president is now not even allowing his government officials to leave their homes and go to other provinces for fear that they're not going to another province. They're looking for an escape route out of the Ukraine. Let's just be honest. Yeah. That's what they're doing. Yeah. Okay. And when you've got the number of people being killed and the number of things that are going on there, things are not looking good. Do not trust the mainstream media people. You know, do your own research. I'm not telling you not to watch the news. I encourage you to watch the news, all of them. Watch all of it. But for goodness sakes, dig a little deeper and find out that they are sugarcoating a lot of stuff and they're not telling you even more than that.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
Now, we got another issue. And this one, again, plays into the same thing with Russia. And remember now, the whole purpose of talking about Russia is they are the ones that are going to form the coalition to go against Israel in the Gog and Magog war. That's the reason we keep harping on Russia. So now listen to this one, this report. Again, this is from Amir again. This is about Sweden and Finland and trying to get into NATO. Okay, listen to this.
Estonia and Latvia are extremely afraid. Poland is extremely afraid because they can see the Russian advance. They can see that there is major weakness on the Ukrainian side that might lead in the next 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks to the probably crucial battle that will maybe bring an end to this war, and it's not going to be to the liking of the Ukrainians, and it's definitely not going to be to the liking of any of NATO members. In the meantime, Sweden and Finland are unable to join NATO because Turkey is very angry now with Sweden. It is election year in Turkey, and Erdogan wants to be the defender of Islam. A few days ago, someone burned Quran in Stockholm outside of the Turkish embassy. They're using that right now as a reason why they're not going to allow Sweden into NATO. The Finnish foreign minister a few hours ago said we might have to consider joining NATO without Sweden. So far, they were always together. Turkey is a major blockade for that issue right now. Folks, again, major news are about to come from the Ukrainian front in the next few days. And I'm talking about Putin is preparing for something very, very big. Again, on the ground, the Russians are making progress. The Ukrainians are losing, again, triple digit per day. This is a disaster as far as they're concerned.
Okay, so they're losing up to 400 soldiers a day. Yeah. Now, that's significant. I mean, they for a while there, you know, you're talking about Ukrainians winning this and doing that and taking back to certain territories. But what they never realized and what we kept talking about through the whole thing is that Ukraine is a tiny little country when you compare it to Russia. And, you know, and they have to rely on everybody else to arm them. They can't do it themselves. I mean, you know, there are like Israel. Israel's a little country, but man, can they produce weaponry. Good. Great. Yeah. I mean, you know, they rival anybody in the world in what they're able to produce. Mm-hmm. Well, the Ukrainians can't do that. And the Ukrainians are also not protected by the Lord above. You know, God is not watching them in the same manner. I want to be clear on this, in the same manner that he's watching Israel. Israel can't lose, but Ukraine can, and people have to understand that they can, in fact, lose. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Cutting to the prophecies that deal with when Russia finally gets down there with her hordes, God is going to destroy them on the mountains, it says in the Bible, on the mountains of Israel.
Correct.
He's going to destroy them. People might think that I'm kind of giving the punchline before it gets here. I am, because that's what God does. It's called prophecy, and there isn't a prophecy in the Bible that has not either come true, is coming true, or is going to come true.
Right.
So, you can't bet against the Bible.
No.
Whatever it says, that's going to happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's one of them, you know, this Russian thing of gathering the forces. That's one of them. And for anybody that wants to look it up, go to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 and just read that, because it's unfulfilled prophecy, which means that it has to be fulfilled, which means that we're looking at it, that it's coming our way. And I'm getting some bad feedback from you somehow. We have got to be watching prophecy very, very, very carefully here, because I see too much is unfolding right now, and it's happening quickly, exactly the way that that the Bible said it would. Now, I've got more that we're going to do in the second half of the show. I've got one from Eric Seckelbeck of the Watchman newscast, and another one then from Amir as well, where we're going to get more into Israel, where Israel stands in all of this, what's going on, what's their plan, and also about what the world is going to be focused on, or has been focused on, I should say. It's the World Economic Conference was just held. And there's some interesting information that came out of that as well. And like I said, we're going to cover that in the second half of the show. So if you don't get that, please go to the YouTube channel. You can also find us on the podcast networks. I'm going to suggest that if you have any difficulty finding the second half of the show, that you go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. That is the home of this show. And so it will always have links to the most recent show, as well as all of the other shows as well. So, you know, most current being the one that we would really love for you to watch. Also, remember, if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, please do. Like I said, we've got close to 4,000 subscribers now. It remains one of our smaller outlets, which kind of surprises me now that it's kind of starting to roll. I mean, we started off with, what, like 5 or 6 people, and you know, over the over the past couple of months, it's just exploded. And I'm thrilled to death about that. But the thing is it still needs to grow more, because we've got to get this message of Jesus Christ out there. So anyway, if you don't get the second half of the show, please, please, please look us up on lastchristian.net. Terry, anything that you want to add here? We're getting right down to the very end of the first half of the show.
And remember, inside of this moment we're talking, Jesus is going to shout and we'll be out of here.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, there is everything that is needed to be done has been done before the rapture of the church. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Okay, we'll see you on the other side. For those of you that are sticking with us, we'll be back in just a few. For everybody else, we'll see you on Saturday, unless, of course, the rapture occurs. See you in a minute.
Amen.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Join Austin Black for Behind the Tunes every Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio. And for more information about the show, please visit www.revelationradio.net.
Hosea 6 verse 3. Let us press on to know the Lord. He will come to us as the spring rains that water the earth. I received this verse in an encouraging text from a friend today. Sean reminded me that the Hebrew word for know is yoda. It's the same word used for the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. Sean encouraged me to press in and know God intimately, especially through the dry seasons of life. Then Sean said, as sure as the dawn comes after the night, God will come through for us. So now is the time, before the rains, to really press in and know God intimately. God's word reminds us to acknowledge, which is the same Hebrew word, yodah. Intimately acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, and He will direct our paths. God tracking is acknowledging God intimately through the droughts of life. I'm Dudley Anderson. Send me an email, dudley@surereality.net.
Dudley Anderson, every Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Central for the internationally syndicated radio show, The Reality, on KRRB Revelation Radio. Learn more at www.revelationradio.net.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Christman. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, we'll be hearing new songs from Gateway Worship, Mac Brock, Pat Barrett, Charity Gayle, and a whole lot more. You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Christman.
Worship with Andy Christman airs every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Central on KRRB Revelation Radio. Learn more about the show at www.revelationradio.net.
When I was in foster care, I never knew when I would have to move, so I always had my suitcase ready to go. Then one day, I was adopted. My new parents opened their hearts and home to me. My parents cook my favorite breakfast for me every morning. My parents take me on trips I never thought I would go on. They gave me a home and an even better reason to use that suitcase. My parents aren't perfect, but they're perfect for me.
KRRB-DB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Here's the latest from the KRRB Newsroom.
This is the latest news headlines in 60 seconds with Alan Edwards.
U.S. President Joe Biden announced that the U.S. plans to send 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine after Germany confirmed it will deliver 14 Leopard 2 tanks from its own stock to the country.
The announcements mark a landmark moment that followed weeks of intense pressure on Berlin from some of its NATO allies.
With threatening phone calls, burned minibuses, and at least three drivers shot to death, street gangs more closely associated with Central America are imposing their brand of terror-based extortion on public transportation drivers in southern Mexico. Emergency responders in the Houston area said they responded to reports of damage and stranded motorists after a tornado moved through the area Tuesday. A suspect was taken into custody in connection with an overnight shooting that left three people dead in Washington state. That's the latest headlines in 60 seconds. I'm Alan Edwards.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of The Last Christian Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and I'm joined there in Dallas by Mr. T.L. Farley. And, Terry, if you noticed, I told you that there was an update on what you were talking about with the tanks. Did you happen to hear that?
I did catch it.
Yeah, okay.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. So, yeah, America is sending them. Germany is sending them. And Russia has made it very clear that this could very well trigger World War III. Okay, that they are not going to hesitate to use tactical nuclear weapons. And for those of you who have not followed the show, I predicted this, what, 3-4 months ago?
Easily, maybe six.
Yeah, because, you know, it's just too clear to me with everything that is going on in the world and the way and what the Bible says happens in the latter days, to see that speed exactly the way the Bible said it would happen, to see the events unfolding, they're all pointing toward the same thing. And the fact that this war, this conventional war there, is being propped up by proxy fighters, including the United States of America, there was just no other, you know, no other way that I could see it. Any comment on that?
No. And, you know, again, people, you need to fasten your seatbelts because there are going to be all kinds of things happening. And you need to be close to Jesus.
Amen.
That's the best thing I can say. And if you don't believe him, you need to start working on finding out why you don't believe in him, because he's the only thing to believe in, and he's going to end this show when he calls the shots.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, the best thing that I can tell people, and I mean this sincerely, for those people who don't go to church, who don't hear the weekly sermons, and who don't own a Bible. And, you know, a lot of people will say they believe in God and all that. You know, I'm glad you believe in God. So does Satan. He believes in God too. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the deal. People will tell you, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. And what you need to do, instead of listening to them and saying, okay, I agree with you. Instead of saying that, instead of doing that, say, show it to me. Show it to me, okay? Show it to me in the Bible. Let's look at it together, and let's read the verses before and after the one that you're quoting or attempting to quote, because I guarantee you that 99% of the time when people try to justify something bad, they nitpick something out of the Bible, they twist it, and they try to make it fit their agenda, whereas if they had a Christian standing there with a Bible in their hand saying, here, this is what it really says. So what I'm what I'm telling you is, don't believe what somebody else is telling you about the Bible, and instead pick it up and read it for yourself And better yet, go to church and listen to a pastor. Now, if that pastor says, well, the Bible says this, but I don't think that's right, run. Get out of that church and kick the dust off your shoes and never go back. The Bible is 100% correct from Genesis through Revelation. So,
that's right.
Pick up the Bible and read it. I know you got some comments now, Terry, because you were a missionary or whatever it was. Go ahead.
Well, now that was an introduction. And listen, folks, I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what Terry Farley was, what he is, or what he's going to be.
Right.
What's important is the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what you can stand on.
Amen.
To put Joel's words into a verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says the Word of God, it says it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, of bone and marrow, to the very thought, stay with me now, to the very thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
Hey, God knows where you are. You don't be surprised if you open up that Bible and start reading something and say, whoa, that's speaking to me.
Right.
Because that God is going to do that. That's why Christians read the Bible. That's why they're always talking about the Bible. That's why they're always quoting the Bible. People will come up and go, well, what about this? What about this? And I have given people verses that explain exactly where their problem is. And they would say, well, I just don't see that. And I say that. And I say to them, yes, that's right. You don't see it because you're dead in Christ. You're not alive. You have to call on Jesus. Jesus said you must be born again.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And that's spiritually. You must be born again. I was born again September 22nd, 1974, 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Called on Jesus. I had never talked to him personally myself. But I read in a verse that said, these things are written that you may know, present tense, that you have, present tense, eternal life. And I thought, well, I don't know that. I think I believe in Jesus, but I know for certain that I do not know for certain. So I got down on my knees there in that living room. I didn't care. People around. I don't want to go to hell.
Right.
So I get down and I pray to Jesus. And I said, Lord, I always thought I knew you, but this verse that's in your book, it says that I'm supposed to know for certain that I'm going to heaven. And I said, I know for certain that I do not know for certain. I'm certain about it, that I do not know for certain that I'm going to heaven. I said, if I'm not saved, if I don't really know you, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, save me. This was 48 years ago. And to this day, every day, he has led me and taught me in his book. And I keep learning new things and new things. I quote over 1,350 verses in my book, Blast Off with P.M. Moore, which is on the rapture. You can go to T.L. Farley Books, Google T.L. Farley Books. You can go there and look them and follow them. And I've got all those verses, and I haven't even scratched the surface of what God has available for me, for you, for everyone. There's nothing more exciting than to talk to a Christian who is new, who comes and opens their Bible and says, did you see this? And I look and I say, no, I didn't, but I see it now.
Right.
I see it now. I understand now. Because we're all learning. We all know a little bit. The Apostle Paul said, I only know in part. Talking about himself. I only know in part.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. No Christian knows everything. We're all learning. But there's going to come a day when we are like Paul. We're going to know even as we are known. That's what the Apostle John said.
Well, I'm just going to throw in real quick. You know, Europe, you love movies. I hate movies. I hate watching movies. You know that. Okay, I don't watch them, but anyway, there are people who can watch a movie, and they keep going back, and they keep going back, and they keep going back, and watch it, and they watch it on TV, or watch, you know, whatever. Oh, you get my point. They just keep continually, you know, they're eating this thing up, and they get to a point where they can basically recite the whole movie. They can, you know, they can just recite it and know exactly what it means. I mean, they know exactly what it means. They can tell you, you know, this is what was going on and all this kind of stuff, right? Okay. There is not one person alive that can read the Bible, and you can read it 50 times, 500 times, 5,000 times, whatever, and you can even memorize the Bible. I mean, I've heard of people that have tried, and some claim that they have. I don't know if they have or not, but anyway, they say they've done that, okay? But every time you read the Bible, you find something new in it. Every single time, you know, you get a new, there's a new outlook, there's a new thought, there's something that you didn't see before. I don't care how many times you read the Bible, there's something new. It's always there. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that wherever you are in your life, whatever is going on in your life, it's covered. It's in the Bible. It's in there. Right. Okay. Every single time. Okay. I know you got comments, but we got to move on for just a second. So hold them. Hold it for a second, okay?
I've got them.
All right. This is from Eric Steckelbeck of the Watchman Newscast. And again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association, I'm allowed to play this. Eric knows it. I do encourage y'all to subscribe to his channel. It's a great channel. It's great information. I go there daily. Okay. So anyway, take a look at this. This is Eric Steckelbeck of the Watchman Newscast.
We've been reporting here over the past few weeks on increased tensions between the new Israeli government led by Benjamin Netanyahu and the Jordanian government, and the reason is the Temple Mount. Now, Jordan is the custodian of the Temple Mount. It has been since the 1967 Six-Day War. Today, the two Muslim holy sites, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, sit atop the mount, but in the times of the Bible, both Jewish temples, Solomon's Temple and then the Second Temple where Jesus taught, chased out the money changers, they both once stood atop the Temple Mount. Needless to say, folks, it is the most coveted piece and most controversial piece of real estate in the world. And Jordan has expressed concerns in recent weeks that the new Israeli government wants to change the status quo atop the Temple Mount. What is the status quo? Jews and Christians cannot pray openly atop the mount, or they will be either escorted off the site or arrested. Well, some members of Israel's new government are saying, hey, wait a minute, we prayed atop the Temple Mount 3,000 years ago at the first temple. Why can't we pray there today? Benjamin Netanyahu says he does not want to change the status quo, but again, members of his government do. So today's surprise visit to Amman by Benjamin Netanyahu to meet with King Abdullah has great significance. Jordan is a crucial partner to Israel and to the West when it comes to security, first and foremost in the region. Jordan has excellent intelligence services and excellent military and is a buffer between Israel and the rest of the madness in the region. Look, Jordan is bordered by Iraq and Syria, enough said. So you get the picture, folks. It is a crucial, crucial nation on a lot of levels. King Abdullah is a pro-Western leader, but he and Bibi, again, have clashed on a number of issues. We reported here in the newscast a few weeks ago that Jordan's ambassador to Israel tried to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque atop the Temple Mount. He was denied. He was eventually permitted to come back and go into the Al-Aqsa Mosque, but you get the picture. There have just been a number of diplomatic spats here, maybe some misunderstandings as well, and the bottom line is, this is a very important alliance. I know all that Israel needs at the end of the day is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am fully aware, before you leave any comments, but it's also to have, it's also good for Israel to have some alliances like this, strategic alliances, like with the United States, like with Jordan, to stand against the growing Iranian axis in the region. Prophet Zechariah, we've mentioned this many times on the newscast, lays out a day that is coming where Jerusalem will become like a burdensome stone, and every nation that comes against it will be cut to pieces. So great prophetic significance for Jerusalem, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You want to talk Jerusalem and prophecy. That's the city where God Almighty has written his name. It's the center of the world geographically. It's the center of God's plan, and the Temple Mount is at the center of the center, at the center of Jerusalem. So you get an idea why this is such an important site, which brings us to that Iranian axis that I mentioned a moment ago. You have to think, folks, that Iran's nuclear program was also at the top of the list in this discussion. Let's just lay it out real quick. I call them the sheep and goat nations, essentially. You got Israel, Jordan, Egypt, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, the Sunni Arab nations, again, aligned with Israel in the face of that Iranian axis, which includes, of course, led by the Iranian regime, the Assad regime in Syria, Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, the Houthis in Yemen, the various Shia militias in Iraq and Syria, all controlled and armed to the teeth by the Iranian regime. Remember, folks, the Iranian axis doesn't only threaten Israel, it also threatens the Sunni Arab nations, chief among them, Jordan and Saudi Arabia, which share borders with members of this Iranian axis, those Iranian proxies. So this is crucial for Jordan and other Sunni Arab nations like it. A nuclear Iran not only threatens Israel, it threatens these Sunni Arab nations as well. And one reason that Israel and the world can never accept Iran with nuclear weapons is that it would most surely spark a nuclear arms race in the Middle East, in the world's most volatile and unpredictable region. You think the Middle East is chaotic right now, folks? Wait till there is, God forbid, wait till there was a nuclear arms race there. That's a day I don't think will ever come, because I do think that Israel and perhaps this brand new government led by Benjamin Netanyahu will strike Iran's nuclear facilities.
And we're going to have, in just a second, I'm going to play you a clip from Amir again, who confirms what Eric was just talking about, the fact that Israel is getting ready to try to take care of business. Now, look, people may think that this is a bad thing for Israel to go and do all these strikes, you know, leave Iran alone. They hadn't done anything to you yet. So, you know, leave them alone. Don't worry about what they're doing. Don't worry if they get nuclear weapons. The United States says, you know, well, we'll push it down the line 2 years. We'll push it down the line 3 years. You know, we'll push it out. I just want to get out of my administration. I'll let the next president worry about, see if it happens on his watch or not. The world wants to do business with Iran. The world wants there to be a two-state solution when God says that there's only one state there. And when the world wants something that God doesn't want, weigh it out. Who's going to get their way? You know, I promise you, God's going to get his way 100% of the time. And he knew it was going to happen before he even created the world. And, you know, that's a mind-boggling thing. You know, that's something that no human being can even begin to figure that one out. But it's the truth. You know, God knew what you were going to do today before he created the world. You know, as a Christian, I can say that. So anyway, Terry, I'll let you comment on that real quick. And then, like I said, I got one more report that I really want to get in tonight from Amir about this situation that's going on out there. But I know that you've got some stuff to say, so go ahead.
No, go ahead and run that, because I'd like to hear it myself. And you know me, I can make a heartbeat out of 30 seconds.
So okay, all right, I will. This is Amir, and you know he's talking about Israel and what Israel's plans are or whatever, and also what the world is thinking about. Anyway, take a listen to this.
Israel is preparing for a strike on Iran right now. The Iranians never stopped for a second to enrich uranium from day one. And when it will happen in a surprise, and everybody knows that. The Hezbollah already understands that it's coming. Therefore, they already said that a strike on Iran will get the entire region into war. Look, wars and rumors of wars all around this, part of the world. And in the meantime, the World Economic Forum ended its session in Davos. And this time, unlike years before, it's not about COVID. It's not about global warming. This time, there were less politicians and there were more CEOs. And the reason why I'm saying that is the major concern everybody is now talking about is collapse of economies, meltdown of economies, something way bigger than just recession. And again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying this is what they are talking about and discussing, which means maybe something is being in the making when it comes to that, which will then allow them to push forward with global currency and other things to fight this. So, folks, even Soros did not hold his famous lunch in Davos this time. U.S. president wasn't there. Major presidents and prime ministers were not there this time. But again, record number of CEOs of companies, record number of private jets that are equal to, I think, 34,000 cars emission of CO2, of carbon dioxide. And again, they don't talk about climate change anymore, so who cares about fuel consumption of private jets. Big news on the Ukraine side. Share this, please.
And that's what I'm doing, Amir. I am sharing it for you because it's really, really important. Now, when Israel strikes in Iran, the world is going to have a fit. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to have a fit. And, you know, and I believe that this could be the kickoff, you know, that should Israel strike in Iran, and I agree with Amir based on everything I see, I think that it is imminent. I hate using the word imminent because every time you do that, you know, people think, oh, it's mm-hmm. going to happen right now. No, I mean that it can mm-hmm. happen at any time. I mean, virtually mm-hmm. at any time. Speaking of any time and the rapture, I put up on our YouTube channel, I put up a little poll last week, and I said, do you think the rapture will occur in your lifetime? Okay. Yes, no, don't know. I don't believe in the rapture. Those were the choices. Okay. You got 80% of people say, yes, I believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. And that's more than I thought would say that. There are 10% that say no. So I guess they must be following the mainstream media. That's the only thing I can think of. Okay. 10% say they don't know. And I think really that I was actually expecting that number to be a lot higher than 10%. You know, I mean, because, you know, I just did.
Yeah.
And nobody said that they don't believe in, that they don't believe the rapture is going to occur. So, Chris, if you're out there, did you vote? I mean, I don't know. 80% say that they believe it'll happen in our lifetime, and I agree with that. Okay, Terry, I know you got comments now. I've held you back pretty much through the whole show. Go ahead.
You are sweet, buddy. You're a good guy. Yeah, no, you haven't. You've encouraged me all the way through. But getting back to it, folks, Blastoff Rapiamor, and he was ringing my bell given those statistics. Blastoff Rapiamor, Edition 5, Google T.L. Farley Books, 1,350-plus verses from 25-plus different Bibles. With a scripture index in the back, alphabetically arranged so that you can go back and forth and you can go over passages and look and, well, which Bible says this and which Bible says, I mean, you can go just as deep as you want. And people say, well, what are all the pluses for? And I say, because I got tired of counting. And that's the truth. That is the Lord's truth. I got tired of counting. I said, look, if they're not satisfied with the numbers, they can go in and count, and they can tell me exactly how many there are. But I know there's going to be plus anything that I've said. But do that, because look, all of these things that we're talking about on the show, about the various juxtapositions of the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Iranians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of that, it's all in there. But it's all focused around the rapture, because the rapture is imminent.
Right.
The rapture is imminent.
Yeah, right.
It is going to be at any moment. And this is an opportunity for you to find out, what does the Bible say about the rapture?
Yeah, that was the important thing that I wanted to bring up there.
80%, that's right. Yeah. 80% believe that it's going to be. Well, please get into the study of it, because listen, the book isn't the final answer. The book is going to make you want to go into the scriptures and study even more. Go ahead, Joel. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I wanted to make it really, really clear that the book is a way of getting people to read the Bible. You know,
what you put
in there is you're giving them the exact scripture to where they know the exact book, chapter, and verse, so they can go and look at it for themselves. And once you start looking at this stuff, and once you start really digging into it, the more you learn, the more you want to know. And that's a good thing, especially if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Again,
and let me throw this in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me throw this in real quick, folks. And the best thing about this kind of study, it gives you comfort, it gives you strength, and it gives you spiritual stamina, because you know what Jesus said? He said, "Occupy until I come." Joel is doing exactly what Jesus said to do. He's not hanging out and just sitting back and wringing his hands. He's dealing with what's going on. And that's what God wants us to do. But the reason Joel can do that is because, and I'm not taking his testimony, but the reason he can do that is because he trusts in Jesus, and he believes in Jesus, and he believes his word. So we're trying to encourage you, to help you. You might end up encouraging Joel reading that book. You might end up encouraging me. I've had people do it.
Yeah,
I've had people that have come on Facebook and said, "Man, you know," and they'll talk about, and I'm like, "Whoa, that I didn't even see that in my own book." See what I'm saying? Go ahead, Joel.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. I do what I can. I feel like that this is what I was meant to do, and so I try to do it to the best of my ability. And I want to pay you the same compliment. I don't want this to get into a compliment and compliment thing, but I do want to pay you a compliment as well in the fact that, you know, you haven't been resting either, Mr. Author of 3 books. You know, you have not been resting either, and also going out there and ministering to people, which I have not done. I have not gone to minister to people. This has been my ministry.
You haven't had time.
What
this
I've done.
Guy's running a circus of radio connections across the planet. So don't listen. Leave him alone. He's doing great.
But you have done yeoman's work with your books. And of course, Terry also has a radio show. Let's go ahead and plug it while we got a chance here. Every Sunday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central. Go ahead, Terry. You got a minute? Go ahead.
Yeah, from the Eye of the Storm, and that's where we go each Sunday evening. Right now we're in Proverbs. I'm also doing a Parashah, and there are only Jewish people out there going to know what I'm talking about there. But I'm doing the Proverbs, and I'm doing a Parashah now each evening, Sunday evening. And it's a place you go into the storm, you go through the storm, you get to the very center of the storm. It's called the Eye,
right.
And it is peaceful. It's peaceful, and things are quiet, and you can sit back, and you can get your Bible and go through the verses with me, and you can say, okay, and we talk about them, we look at them, and it's just a wonderful, quiet time with Jesus and his book and his word. And so please, if you get a chance, stop by.
Amen. Again, that is From the Eye of the Storm, and it airs on revelationradio.net. That's www.revelationradio.net. All the podcast platforms, YouTube, everything else, every Sunday evening at 7:30 p.m. And I do strongly encourage everybody to listen to it. Terry, I see that you keep ticking up a little bit every week in what with your audience. It continues.
It is
continuing to grow, which is a good thing. Now, we're just about out of time here. And so what I want to do very quickly is once again appeal to you. If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do. Just say a simple prayer and tell God that you know that he died for you. You know you're a sinner. ask for his forgiveness. You know he died. You know Jesus died for you. He was in the tomb for 3 days and he rose. He's with the Father. He's coming back. He's going to have that rapture of the church. That can literally happen at any second. So if we're not back here on Saturday and you hear a repeat, you'll know what happened. Other than that, we are looking forward to seeing you again this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Until then, everybody, good night, and may God bless you.